Good morning, everybody. You know, I like to say peace and grace to you. It's so funny, you know, as we sing the worship songs, the more we sing the songs, the better our understanding of the Word of God, and then the more we sing those worship songs, the deeper they become and the more meaningful they become. And as we were singing, just He Will Hold Me Fast, it's such an encouragement, especially in times like these, when other people are so unstable, they don't have hope, but we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're reminded that He's holding us. Just as much as we're striving to bring Him glory and to hold on to Him, He's holding on to us, and no one can snatch us from His hand. And that should be really encouraging to us. We shouldn't fear when we hear of the wars that are going on or the crimes that are going on. He will hold you fast. He is faithful. Amen. So I was just really even more encouraged today when I sang that song. Like, wow, you know, what a Father we have. Amen. Sometimes I think we should just, you know, cut off the TV, cut off social media, cut off the phone, and really just sit there with Him. Yes. And say Selah in that. That is your Father, the Creator of all things. So, as Miss Glenda said, that Pastor and Sister Roy are out of town. They're fellowshipping, and again, we're so grateful that they have the opportunity. But what that means for us is that we need extra prayer. So, dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that You are our Father, and we thank You that You woke us up this morning and gave us the opportunity to gather together in Your name. We ask, Father, that this truly be a gathering in Your name, and that right now, Holy Spirit, You take away any distractions we may have, even the distraction of who's in the pulpit. Holy Spirit, I ask that You speak through me, and that my words and my thoughts and my opinions not get in the way. Let me not glory in the presence of God, but God, have mercy on us and speak to us, for we need You. Speak, O Lord, for Your servants are listening. So before we were spending some time in Psalm 34, but today actually I want to go over a topic that we went over quite a while ago. But just so you know, I did write up the last part of Psalm 34, the last four verses, which is 19 through 22. There's a new section on the website called Articles, and if you want to finish out Psalm 34, of course you can do it alone. You do not need my article. Let me say that. But if you want to read that, it is there. So. Today we're going to talk about a Hebrew word that I said before we had talked about a long time ago. It has no accurate English translation, but whose definition I think once we get a hold of us, hold of it again, will really help us to understand our relationship with the Lord better. And I believe it will also help us to see the great loss we experience spiritually when we sin against Him. And that word is hesed. As a saved person, when we sin, we know we're still heaven bound. The blood of Jesus made that secure once and forever. And as we're learning in the Facing Sid Head On series, the judgment forgiveness is always set. In other words, we do not lose our salvation. However, when we sin after salvation, until we confess and repent, in other words, think of it the way God thinks about our sin, we actually break the fellowship bond with God. Remember, this is why David wrote in Psalm 32:3, it says, "For when I kept silent," in other words, not confessing and repenting of my sin, "my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night Your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." If you've truly tasted and seen that the Lord is good, any moment apart from Him, any break in the fellowship should feel excruciating.
Amen.
I think this talk that we're going to go over hesed again will also support what Pastor has been saying about getting deeper into the Word for ourselves. And I mean, not just reading the word, but also if you feel like the Lord is light leading you to go to seminary, if He's leading you to go into the Greek and Hebrew, do that. If He's leading you, at minimum, you can compare Bible translations, as I sometimes do with the NIV 84 and the ESV, praying over your Bible. I pray before I read the scriptures so that the Lord will open it up to me. Make sure that you're praying as you go through your scriptures. Listen to multiple teachings on the same topic. Sometimes it's just a different angle. as we learned even in Psalm 34, I took kind of the whole kind of a bird's eye view, the higher view, and Pastor Harris like dug right in, because you can do that with the Word of God. You can never go deep enough. You can study sometimes understanding the culture, understanding the original language, understanding the geography even will help you to understand the Word more. And like I said, the more you understand the Word of God, the more you understand God Himself, the more you understand yourself and your nature, and the closer that you become to Him, and the closer you become to Him, the sweeter the fellowship. The sweeter the fellowship. When you sing songs of worship, it's like you never sang them before. They're so rich.
Yes, indeed.
Just a personal note, you don't have to do this. I do use a Reformation Study Bible from Ligonier Ministries. It's been very helpful to me, and it has like the commentary as well as some of the catechism teachings, the shorter catechism and things like that. And I found it very, very helpful. There are so many tools out there that really you only have yourself to blame if you don't dig into the Word. So quite a few years ago, we touched on hesed, and we talked about, before we touched on hesed, we did talk about the Greek word, we call it agape or agape. We learned that although love is a good translation for agape, it really falls short in expressing the depth and meaning of it. If we remember, and this was quite a few years ago, but hopefully you remember, a much better meaning of agape was selfless, sacrificial love. And once I learned about that extended translation, it changed the way I look at the depth of love our Lord expects us to extend to others inside the church, which would be the household of faith, and outside of the church, which is our neighbors and our enemies. I had the same reaction when I learned more about the word hesed. Today we're going to go over again the meaning or definition of hesed, how hesed is expressed to us by God, and how we should be expressing hesed to God. Again, we're going to learn what is hesed, how does God express it to us, and how should we express it to Him. So what is hesed? Hesed, spelled H-E-S-E-D, or sometimes you'll see it with C-H-E-S-E-D with a silent C, is a Hebrew word found throughout the Old Testament. As one source said, biblical scholars have often complained that the word hesed in the Hebrew Bible is difficult to translate into English, but it really has no precise equivalent in our language. English versions usually try to represent it with such words as loving kindness, mercy, steadfast love, and sometimes loyalty. But the full meaning of the word cannot be conveyed without an explanation. Like agape, which had much more depth than our English word love, hesed means more than just a single word, like loving kindness or mercy by itself or steadfast love by itself or loyalty. In fact, hesed not only includes all of those words and all of those meanings, it includes much more, and that's what we're going to walk through today. And we're going to go through a few scriptures too to help us, and hopefully you will never look at your relationship with God the same ever. Again, I want to emphasize that although many times in the Old Testament, hesed is translated as loving kindness or steadfast love, love is not truly the meaning of hesed, although it's present. In other words, hesed is not just agape in Hebrew. The Hebrew have other words that mean love, so hesed is much deeper than that. One thing that we must understand is hesed is only present and expressed through a covenantal relationship. Unlike agape, which we are to express to all people, like I said, love your neighbor as you love yourself, love your enemy, hesed is something that only occurs in a covenant. That covenant relationship can be between two people who have bound themselves to each other. It could be a man and a woman binding themselves in marriage, but it's not just in the marriage relationship. It's any time two people have bound themselves in covenant. Which is why we read about Ruth binding herself to Naomi in the book of Ruth. And that actually is a really good example of hesed. But also the story of Jonathan and David. I'm sure you remember that. Saul's son and David had a close friendship, and they bound themselves to each other in hesed. So remember when David first went on the run from Saul, who wanted to kill him, he met with Jonathan, and Jonathan bound himself to David in hesed. So let's turn to 1 Samuel Chapter 20, and we'll start in verse 12. 1 Samuel chapter 20, and we'll start at verse 12 and we'll read through 17. 1 Samuel 20, verse 12, and we'll read through to 17. Okay. And Jonathan said to David, "The Lord, the God of Israel, be witness. When I have sounded out my father about this time tomorrow or the third day, behold, if he is well disposed toward David, shall I not then send and disclose it to you?" So just as a footnote, this is a time where Jonathan actually did not believe that Saul was going to kill David or that he wanted to. And David was trying to sell him, "Your dad crazy. He's going to try and kill me." And so this is when David is saying, "I have to go. I can't stay here in the palace. I know that he's after my life." Verse 13, "But should it please my father to do you harm, the Lord do so to Jonathan and more also, if I do not disclose it to you and send you away that you may go in safety. May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. If I am still alive, show me steadfast love of the Lord that I may not die, and do not cut off your steadfast love from my house forever when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." And Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord take vengeance on David's enemies." And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. So when we go to 14, when we see, "If I am still alive, show me hesed," he's actually binding himself to him. "Show hesed of the Lord that I may not die, and do not cut off your hesed from my house forever when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." And then it confirms it here when it says, "And Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David." One commenter put it about hesed between David and Jonathan this way: hesed is not merely love, but it's loyal love. It's not merely kindness, but it's dependable kindness. It's not merely affection, but it's affection that has committed itself. In our passage then, David appeals to Jonathan to treat him with devoted love. And he has reason to believe Jonathan will do so because Jonathan has so promised in a covenant of Yahweh. That's amazing, isn't it? And just now we haven't really even scratched the surface of what we're going to get into. But can you see how a marriage would just, I mean, could soar the heights if you have this kind of love? It's not just emotional, we know that. But it's much more. It says it's dependable. It's not just loyal. It's not just love. It's loyal love. It's not just kind. It's dependable kindness. It's not merely affection, but deep affection. Can you see how godly friendships can really be deep? Relationship between mothers and daughters, sisters, cousins. It's amazing. And it's this way, as a commenter said, because our God is this way. Did you catch that? When it said Jonathan will do so because he has so promised in a covenant of Yahweh. In other words, he's mimicking God the Father. And we know from 2 Samuel 9, 1 through 13, that David actually continued to keep hesed with Jonathan even after Jonathan's death by caring and taking care of his son. The commentator continues to point out, hesed ultimately flows not from a formal covenant promise, but from the very nature of the covenant of God, Yahweh, who is rich in hesed and fidelity. We can be this way as born-again people because our God is this way. Do you understand that? It's not you. It's that the power of God, the Holy Spirit's in you, so now you can be as your Father is in loyalty and faithfulness and mercy and steadfast love and kindness, and all of that is hesed. In other words, our ability as a believer to walk in hesed, loving kindness, I have to say them all, loving kindness, mercy, steadfast, faithful, loyal, unwavering commitment and love is because our God is a covenant or hesed-keeping God. And through the Holy Spirit, we can now partake in that aspect of him. So it makes sense as we explore what hesed is that we find that hesed actually is a key attribute of who God himself is. Let's turn to Exodus 34. Exodus 34, and we'll start in verse 5. Exodus 34, we'll start in verse 5, and we'll go through 7. And really what we should know about this small passage is this is the first set of tablets with the Ten Commandments, of course, were broken. Moses came down the hillside or the mountain and he saw what was going on, the frolicking and the sinfulness, and he was so angry he dropped the tablets. And so he had to go back on the mountain to talk to Yahweh again, and he got new tablets. So this is after he's gotten the new tablets. So Exodus 34, verse 5, and go through 7. It says, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, hesed, and faithfulness, keeping hesed, or steadfast love, for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" God's hesed is everlasting. It's central to God's character, and it binds him to his chosen people. However, God's hesed is not bound just by the covenant itself. And though men may prove to be unfaithful, and unfortunately very often we do prove ourselves to be unfaithful to him, his remains the same. It never wavers. That's why he can hold us fast. Isaiah 54, 7, 8 says, "For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing anger for a moment, I hid my face from you, but with everlasting hesed, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer." In other words, when we sin against him, the fellowship is broken. However, he disciplines us to restore it. So when it says, in overflowing anger for a moment, that's you in your sinful state, "I hid my face from you, but with everlasting hesed, I will have compassion on you." There comes the discipline we talk about with facing sin head on, and then the fellowship is restored. But he's never broke his hesed with us. Isn't it awesome? He's amazing. We're so quiet this morning, but this is awesome. As an article from Ligonier Ministries put it, "Even when his people sin against him and face the consequences of their sin, they may still appeal to the Lord's hesed as the writer of Lamentations does in the midst of the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC. Surrounded by the evidence of the Lord's faithfulness to judge wickedness, rebellion, and sin, he casts himself on the unchanging character of God, affirming." And Lamentations 3:22 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Amen. If we stick in hesed, it says, the steadfast hesed, in other words, that loyal, dependable, unwavering love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The article continues, "The faithfulness of the Lord's hesed is seen ultimately in the cross. There, the true hesed, Jesus Christ himself, the only human who ever to be loyal to the Lord and to his neighbor in every aspect of life. Remember, he lived a perfect, sinless life. He is the only human being that walked the earth that ever perfectly kept hesed with God and with others. He was treated as a covenant breaker and cursed for sins so that we who are unfaithful might be clothed in his faithfulness and thus redeemed. In this way, God's original covenant purpose to have a people for his praise was faithfully accomplished." So Jesus, thank you. You kept hesed for us on our behalf. Isn't that awesome? Let's turn to Psalm 23, a psalm that's super familiar to everyone. You probably don't even need to turn there. You probably have it memorized, but let's turn there. It's amazing, isn't it? Like, you learn more about the Lord. You just learn more about his faithfulness and his kindness to us. And you want to do better. I don't know about you, but if I'm blunt, when I learn more about the Lord, I want to do better. I want to do better. Psalm 23. I'm going to read the entire thing, 1 through 6. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We have read and we've heard this psalm many, many times, right? But look at verse 6 again. In the ESV, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In the Hebrew Bible, goodness and mercy is actually hesed. I want to point out that because the Old Testament, which was originally written in Hebrew, was first translated into Greek, the word hesed was mistakenly translated according to the Greek translation rather than the original Hebrew. Talk about lost in translation. And that's why I said, as the Lord leads you to read different translations, to if he's calling you to learn Greek and Hebrew, do so. It only deepens your relationship with the Lord. That's all it's going to do. How is that a bad thing? In the NIV, New International Version, 1984, the translation says, surely goodness and love. And the Amplified says, surely goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. They're all beautiful translations, but none grasp the word that was used, which is hesed. Here, David is talking about, listen, this is a long one, and we could add more. This is what we have, though. Here, David is talking about the faithful, loyal, loving, unwavering, true, merciful, good, unfailing, compassionate relationship that he has with God. This is hesed. In fact, in this passage, one scholar even added more depth to hesed by saying that God's hesed will pursue him relentlessly all the days of his life. He will hold me fast. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not man that he should lie, or son of man that he should change his mind. He has said it, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Why does God say that? Because of hesed. Because of his relationship with Israel and with his chosen people. Unlike human relationships I have here that so often change, or human beings that so often change, thank you, God, he does not. And his promises will never, ever be broken. Hesed is not generic love for everyone. As we said before, we're not talking about agape. We're talking about a covenantal, bound together relationship. So an even better, still in the 23, an even better working definition might be for hesed, the consistent, ever faithful, relentless, constantly pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, unwavering devotion and loyalty to his people. Isn't that encouraging in a time like this? Yeah. Don't be shook. Don't let anything shake you. Amen. He's sovereign in power. Yes. Amen. And also, do you see why it has no English translation? Do you see why scholars had such a hard time trying to figure out exactly how to express it? I want us to pause here and let us look again at Psalm 23. Let's look again at that. And I'm going to switch out the goodness and mercy and put in our new definition of hesed. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Isn't that amazing? You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And here it is. Surely hesed, God's consistent, ever faithful, relentless, constantly pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, unwavering devotion and loyalty to his people shall pursue and continually pursue me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, God is with you now in this life, and then you will be with him for all eternity. Yes. Thank you, Lord. So we can say, surely hesed will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Or I encourage you to use all of these definitions when you're praying alone in your devotional. Say them all. Sometimes in these times, we just need that kind of encouragement. We just need that kind of reassurance, don't we? So say them all. Say every last one and look up even more of them. This is who God is to you. It's incredible. I have the question in my notes, have you experienced the hesed of the Lord? Can one person here say no? His consistent, ever faithful, relentless, constantly pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, unwavering devotion and loyalty to us now. And he keeps on pursuing us. So how does he express this? One thing we're learning in facing sin head on is a discipline. That is one way he expresses hesed. That's also a form of his hesed. He's pursuing us. He's saying, you're breaking the fellowship. But now as we start to get an idea of hesed, we can learn even more about that. So when I read that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us, like when you read that again, after you understand hesed, when you read that no one can snatch us from his hand, you begin to really grasp why. It is his power, of course. It is that he is God and sovereign. But it is his consistent, ever faithful, relentless, constantly pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, unwavering devotion, loyalty to us. That's hesed. It's his promise, and we are bound to each other. Do you understand that we're bound, we were bought with the blood, and now we're bound by the Spirit in hesed? Yes. Once Christ has you, you are never the same. Never. And once you really grasp what God is telling us through his word, you can never be satisfied nor content with where you are. Of course not. Once you really get below the surface of the skin, so to speak, of the Bible, and you really get into it, you want more. I mean, I know I'm trivializing when I say this, but you know, sometimes, maybe you guys don't, but I like sour cream and cheddar chips, right? You start eating one and suddenly you want more. And some of that is like a sand on the beach comparison to what we should be feeling and wanting to get closer to our God. That once you've really tasted and seen, you want more and more. Who are you, God? Why did you do this? How can I please you? How can I encourage your saints? How can I lay down my life and serve you full out? Let's try another scripture, and we're going to replace hesed. Let's turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, we'll start at the first verse. Psalm 107, we will start at the first verse. Okay. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." What do you think that steadfast love is? Hesed. It's not just steadfast love, my notes say. It's hesed. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his consistent, ever faithful, relentless, constantly pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, unwavering devotion and loyalty to his people pursues and continues to pursue me forever." Hallelujah. Be encouraged. This is encouraging. Verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble." Doesn't that sound like Psalm 34? Let's praise the Lord together. Let's magnify his name and exalt it together. Yes, tell people about your God. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not kind. People say, "You're so nice. You're so sweet." Oh, that's cute. It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I can be extremely, I'm single too. Single people, okay, we can be a dangerous thing. We only have ourselves to think about. For the most part, we only have ourselves. Our pleasures, our pain, our happiness. Holy Spirit will get you out of that, though. Verse 3, start with 2 again. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." In other words, trouble difficulty, worries, concern, anxiety, distress, strife, fear, disquiet, from that he has redeemed us. In other words, he has bought us and paid for us. We are bought and bound to God. Is this beginning to sink in? Human relationships are wonderful. God ordained them, right? Marriages, friendships, family relationship, family ties. He did it. No wonder they can be good. And I've seen wonderful marriages here at Word of Life. I've been very blessed to observe some really wonderful marriages. But they are tiny, just tiny replicas of what's between us and our Father. Isn't that amazing? That you can see the best marriage. And Sister Rowe and Pastor Harris, that is a pretty doggone good example of a marriage. And it is a tiny replica, tiny, to what is between us and God. It is amazing, I wrote in my notes, and awe-inspiring to realize that I am bound spiritually to the Creator of heaven and earth and Him to me. That's crazy. He made all of this. He made me. He made everything. And we're bound together, though. That he pursued me, rescued me, and he will never let me go. Let's keep looking at Psalm 107. Let's look at verse 4. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. And that can be physical or spiritual hunger. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached the city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Oh no, we know now it's let them thank the Lord for his consistent, ever faithful, relentless, constantly pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, unwavering devotion and loyalty to his people that shall pursue and continue pursuing me for his wondrous works to the children of man. Verse 10, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and irons, for they had rebelled against the Lord. This is, we sinned against him here. We sinned against him here. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor, discipline. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. They confessed and repented, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness in the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his consistent, ever faithful, relentless, constantly pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, unwavering devotion and loyalty to his people that pursues and continues to pursue for his wondrous works to the children of man. Verse 17. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And he sent out his word, and he healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his consistent, ever faithful, relentless, constantly pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, unwavering devotion and loyalty to his people that pursues and continues to pursue for his wondrous works to the children of man. This is Hesed. And if we had more time, we would go even deeper into 107. It's, you see how rich it is. That's just one psalm. And we already touched on 23. I would say, as you study the Word of God, especially when you're in Psalm where you see a lot of steadfast love, you see a lot of use of loving kindness, you see a lot of use of mercy, change it in your prayers. Change it as you read it. It will just change your outlook, especially if you're having, you know, trying days. I'll be transparent. You know, you hear of Jesus said, you know, you'll hear wars and rumors of wars. But you're still, I don't know about you, maybe you guys got it. But I have moments where I'm a little bit shaken. Or sometimes it just hurts my soul that man can be so evil to man. I'm not going to lie. It's very difficult. But when I remember who my Father is, when I remember who my Savior is, my Lord, when I remember that I have the Holy Spirit, it encourages me. It lifts my soul. And I remember, wow, we're in Hesed though. You know what you're doing. I trust you then. I'm hurting. I wish it wasn't like this. I know some people are like, well, they don't. They didn't care when it was these other countries. War is war.
Yes. Amen.
Just be grateful your children are the ones who are leaving the house and you're unsure if they're coming back. I know people say, oh, well, in the hood, it is like that. So you should have even more compassion. You should have even more compassion. As I said again, I encourage you today, I have it in my notes, spend some time with this Psalm 107. Spend some time in 23. Spend some time in 136. These are where Hesed is and there's other ones. Find others. So how should we respond? How should we respond to God's Hesed? So now we're starting to grasp what Hesed means. How do we respond to it? I have here the sad reality is that many of us do not respond to God's Hesed. We don't respond at all, we take it for granted, or we just respond in cheap, inauthentic ways. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. We say this, but our minds aren't even on them. That's what the Word of God warned you of. You praise me with your lips, but your hearts were far from me. We sing songs because we always sing songs, but our minds aren't focused. We're socializing, we're thinking about dinner, we're thinking about the person who just walked down. Oh, so-and-so's here today. That ought not to be so. I know that we set up folding chairs here and we can make it into a party area, but when we worship, let it be a house of worship. Do not disgrace God that way. We tend to think of the benefits of Hesed as we just did, and that's good. It encourages us. We think about his faithfulness to us. We think about his covenant promise to us. But we really need to start thinking about our Hesed to him, our faithfulness to him. We need to think and pray deeply about our covenant to him. As I mentioned earlier, even when we are disloyal to God, he's still faithful to us. When I started first really starting to read the Bible and I was in the Old Testament, you know how many times Israel would, you know, disregard the word of God? And they complained just as soon as, I mean, Moses just went up a mountain, right? He just went, what was that, like 4-day hike? I'm making it up. I have no idea how many days it took to hike up the mountain. But by the time he left the people to go up to the mountain to talk to Yahweh, these guys were clowning with a golden calf. And I remember when I started reading about that, I thought, what in the world is the matter with these people? He just like got you from Egypt, he just got you through the Red Sea. He's getting you ready for the promised land. And here you are clowning. What is the matter with you? And then I really became a Christian. And all that stopped. And I realized flesh can rule. And flesh does rule more often than it ought to. God did not put what he put in the Bible for no reason. He wasn't just saying, look how disloyal Israel was. He said, look at my people clowning, and I just delivered them. We have to start thinking about our Hesed to him as much as we savor his Hesed with us. That's why, again, I'm going to keep saying it. This, the new series and the old other series that Pastor Harris has done, but this current one with facing sin head on, if you really receive it, will it hurt? Oh, it ought to hurt. You shouldn't leave the sermons after that and feel good. These are our time to reflect and to really think about who you are and where you are in Christ. It's okay to look at your sin because understand Holy Spirit is directing you there. He's saying, I need you to confess that sin for real. I need you to turn away from that sin for real and turn to me and let's restore our fellowship, the sweetness and the joy of salvation. We need to look at this different. We don't need to look at it like we're talking about sin again. Stop sinning. We won't need to talk about sin again, but we'll sin until we die. So what should we always talk about? I said here again, you know the Lord didn't give us that history for no reason. He showed us that because that's our tendency. Even with our new nature, we tend towards sin. We tend towards fulfilling the lusts and impulses of our flesh. So therefore, we tend to be unfaithful, inconsistent, flaky, no gratitude, unchecked in ourselves. This becomes our home base. And we think it's okay because God loves us. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. And now you see the abuse. Now it was a rich promise between two people or two bound to each other spiritually has become you using it in an improper way. You'll never leave me or forsake me, so you just do what you want to do. Jesus paid for it, so I'm good. And as Pastor said, are you really saved then? If that's your attitude, an innocent. He left the glory of the Father to be here on nasty earth, to live a perfectly righteous life. Life is hard now. How hard was it back then? He perfectly loved his neighbor. He perfectly loved his enemy. He perfectly served his God for you. Then he was falsely accused and hung on that cross. Painful nails through the wrists and through his ankles. He gave up his spirit. And he said, it is finished. It was finished for us. And because he had that perfect life, that's why the grave couldn't hold him. He had not sinned. Sin is a penalty. Death is a penalty of sin. He had not sinned, so hell could not hold him. So then he rose again, and now what is he doing? You think he's just hanging out there? He's just hanging with the Father and with the Holy Spirit having a great time? No, he's interceding on our behinds. What? And we are unfaithful, inconsistent, flaky, ungrateful. Oh, we're so critical of other Christians. Ooh, so-and-so should be here. Hear this word today. I say this. I'm here, so I know the word is for me. You're here. Let's just assume that the word is for you. And not for sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. If the Lord wants them to have it, he will give it to them. Share it. I'm not saying don't share. That might be a way. But sometimes we dismiss it. The discipline that we are receiving, we dismiss it because it's uncomfortable. And we put it onto someone else. Don't do that, because he disciplines those he what? Loves. And those that are part of his family, his children, that's who he disciplines. So it's not a bad thing. He just wants you to enjoy hesed with him. That's really what it is. To enjoy hesed with him and bring him glory and honor in all we say, think, and do. All those instances that God talks about Israel's whoredom are right here. He uses that language, and it's such nasty language, isn't it? A whore. That's a really terrible word. I'm sorry. Sorry, sitting there. But he uses that language because Israel really did step out on him. We're talking about hesed, remember, and Israel was bound to him and still is. There is a number in Israel, he says, in due time, they will be called into the household of faith. And we are bound to him in hesed as well. We were bought with the blood of Christ. We are in a relationship with him. And just as God keeps hesed with us, we are to do the same with him. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Actually, it's hesed, as he's saying. I desire hesed with you, not sacrifice. So if we went back to our definition here, it's quite a few words, so let me pull it out just so we can grasp it again. I desire, we say that quite often, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. It is saying, I'm so excited, it's hot in here. I desire that you be consistent, that you be faithful, that you be relentless in pursuing me, you be constant in pursuing me, that you be lavish, extravagant, and unrestrained, that you be unwavering in your devotion and your loyalty to me, that you pursue and you keep on pursuing me. That is what God is saying to us. I desire that, not sacrifice. In other words, your empty time just hanging out in church because it's Wednesday or Sunday, or it's a special Bible study. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. You should have no other gods before me. You should not make any idols. Micah 6:8 says, and it's funny because the subtitle in the ESV says, what does the Lord require? It says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness, hesed, and to walk humbly with your God? He requires that you do justice and that you be faithful and that you be relentless and constantly pursuing him, that you be lavish, unrestrained, and unwavering in your devotion to him, and that you continue to do it always. I don't think there's one believer that just wakes up in the morning and has completely squashed their sinful tendencies and is ready to keep hesed with the Lord. It is a process. It's sanctification. And we must be prayerful and honest with the Lord with those things we know are causing us to be unfaithful to him, sins and weights. He already knows all of these things. Remember that. That helps out too. That you're like, oh, I need to get before the Lord. He already sees it. You know that, right? He wants you to face it. He wants you to look at it head on. He knows what we have allowed in our lives to turn us into spiritual whores. So why not be honest with him? I have in my notes. Ask him to change your heart and mind and focus so that you are consistent, so that you're ever faithful, so that you're relentless, so you're constantly pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, unwaveringly devoted and loyal to him. I have here, I know pastors always reminding us to come to church consistently and with a purpose, to read the word daily and to do what it says. But the reality is that until our heart is truly changed, we won't even desire to do this. We'll continue to be hit or miss in our Christian walk. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 119. Of course, it will be the longest one. I've been trying to memorize it, but it's long. So, but one of my favorite lines, and I do say this as a prayer very often, is teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, and I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your word, and I will obey it with all of my heart. I'm not there yet. I'm not where I want to be in Christ yet. But I am chasing after him. And I know we've been blessed with such a wonderful family here at Word of Life. Amen. That we really should continue just to encourage each other to strive for perfection. We won't achieve perfection, but don't stop running. Right? Be relentless, I say here, in your pursuit of the Lord in Christ-likeness. Be relentless. For he says, seek me and you will find me, if you seek me with all of your heart. So I encourage you to really meditate on hesed both ways, on what he's bound himself to us in and what we owe to him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what can we say but thank you? And it's so weak to say thank you, really. So we ask you right now, if you're willing, Holy Spirit, to transform our hearts and minds so that more than just words, it becomes our action. It becomes our every thought. To be faithful to you, to be consistent and ever pursuing, to be lavish, to be extravagant, to be loyal, to be unwaveringly devoted to you, Father, not just in word, but in deed. And help us to encourage one another, Father, to not be hypercritical. If the Lord is calling us to speak a word, let us be gentle, but let us be sure. For we have planks in our eyes where our brother has a speck. Help us to remember that and bring you glory in all we say, think, and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.